Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Let us take a moment for silent reflection and self-examination. Then we will pray together the prayer of confession and hear God's words of forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the mercy of the Almighty God, Jesus was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all of our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I declare to you the forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. Bend your ear to our prayers, Lord Christ, and come among us. By your gracious life and death for us, bring light into the darkness of our hearts and anoint us with your Spirit, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
First reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you.'" Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him trembling and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Before me in the presence of my
You anoint my head with oil, and my cup is running over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them, for it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 9th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Glory to you, O Lord. As he was walking along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him,
Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?
Jesus answered,
Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world.
When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him,
Go, wash in the pool of Siloam,
which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back, able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask,
Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?
Some were saying,
It is he.
Others were saying,
No. But it is someone like him.
And he kept saying,
I am the man.
But they kept asking him,
How then were your eyes open?
He answered,
The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. Then I went and washed and received my sight.
They said to him,
Where is he?
He said,
I do not know.
Now they brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them,
He put mud on my eyes. Then I washed, and now I see.
Some of the Pharisees said,
This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath.
But others said,
How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?
And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man,
About him. Was it your eyes he opened?
He said,
He is a prophet.
The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them,
Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see?
His parents answered,
We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he sees. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said,
He is of age. Ask him.
So for the second time they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him,
Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.
He answered,
I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see.
And they said to him,
What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
He answered them,
I already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?
Then they reviled him, saying,
You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses. But as for this man, we do not know where he comes from.
The man answered,
Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
They answered him,
"You were born entirely in sins, and are you trying to teach us?"
And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
He answered,
"And who is he, sir? Tell me, so that I may believe in him."
Jesus said to him,
"You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he."
He said,
"Lord, I believe."
And he worshipped him. Jesus said,
"I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind."
Some of the Pharisees near him heard this, and they said to him,
"Surely we are not blind."
Jesus said to him,
"If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains."
This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Blindness can come in many different forms. It can be physical, where you really can't see. It can be metaphorical, when someone says you're as blind as a bat. Or you can't see 2 inches in front of your own nose. It might be spiritual, when you're unable to see God in your own lives. But blindness is everywhere. And the blind man in this week's story is crying out, begging, wanting somebody to listen. Jesus would listen. And many of those that saw and heard the man's testimony refused to believe that he was healed, saying, no man could do such a thing. But Jesus is more than an ordinary man. And he used this blind man to once again show God coming into this world, bringing light into the darkness. And there's a lot going on in this story, which is why I want you to hear it one more time. And listen for how blindness is really a part of this story. Not only for the blind man, but a lot of other people. So I want you to put yourself in the position of this blind man. I want you to try to feel what it is he might be feeling, see what he's encountering, and I'm going to retell parts of this story. So that for the first part, I'm going to invite you to close your eyes and enter the world of someone who's blind. And if you refuse to close your eyes, I turn the lights off. So it's dark, even for me. Good thing I have a flashlight. So the story begins. For as long as you can remember, you have been blind. Your mom tells you were born this way, and there's nothing that they can do for you. Many have said only God can restore sight. No human is capable of this. You're going to spend the rest of your life in darkness, alone, and there's nothing that can be done. Even if you want to engage in society, try and find a way to fit in, it's impossible. Other Jews look at you, think that you might have some sort of a disease. You're unclean. You should be avoided at all costs. Some have told you that your mother has been worshiping idols instead of God. And because of this, you're full of sin. Or you were also worshiping idols in the womb. Some told you your mother defied God. Because of this, God's sending vengeance onto you, punishing you, inflicting this blindness onto you. Whatever the reason, one thing is certain. You're blind. And many consider it to be your fault for being so. You're unclean. No one wants to be around you, because they feel they'll become unclean too, which means you're unfit to go even before God. So there you sit, alone, by the roadside, crying out, wanting somebody to listen, somebody to do more than just throw a couple pennies at you, somebody to pay attention, but no one does. Think on that for a moment. How does it feel to be completely rejected, accused of doing something sinful before you were even born? How does it feel to be completely alone? Perhaps you're feeling worthless. Perhaps you wonder why anyone should ever care about you. Maybe you even ask, why am I even alive? Now it's a new day, and it's no different than any other day from the beginning. People are still walking around you, avoiding you, just like every day of your life. Perhaps you've been begging desperately, trying to get some food or some money. Then you hear a discussion taking place not too far. A man asked, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Same question you've heard so many times throughout your life. Just another group of Jews. But the next voice you hear is different. He speaks in a way you've never heard before, and he says, "Neither this person nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." You hear the man walk up to you. You hear him spit on the ground. All of a sudden, he's placing mud on your eyes. This man has actually touched you. He's not afraid of you or your blindness. He did care. And he didn't care if others thought you were unclean. He didn't care if you were unclean. He was willing to lay his hands on you. And he speaks to you like no one's ever done before. "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." So when you hear those words, what kind of things are you feeling now? Maybe it's a sense of hope. Who is it that can speak in such a way contrary to everything I've ever heard? Can this man truly help me? It takes time for you to reach the pool, but when you do, you wash your eyes out. For the first time in your life, you're able to see. You're able to see, so I invite you to open your eyes. The lights are back on. There's light, exactly, light. What sort of things would you be feeling if this was the first time you were seeing something? Would it be joy? Maybe even a few tears coming through? Maybe shock, disbelief? But that's not the end of the story, is it? While you were cured of your blindness, many others were blind to what was right in front of them. Many of the people that see you ask, "Is this the blind man that had been crying out?" They couldn't believe what they were seeing. You try to even respond to them saying, "Yes, it's me." You explain how Jesus helped. No one would ever believe you. Even the Pharisees, the leaders, doubted this to be true. They doubted Jesus could have been responsible. They asked, "How can a man who is a sinner do these things?" And as was mentioned earlier, the Jews believed only God could do such things. So to acknowledge Jesus did this would to be acknowledged Jesus is God. Your own parents could not explain how their child was now able to see. They even say, "Go back and ask him." They want nothing to do with this. Pharisees call you a second time, call Jesus a sinner and remind you that they follow Moses. And they know God spoke to Moses. But how could God have spoken to Jesus? Then you respond to them saying Jesus had done nothing, could have done nothing if not from God. And from that, you're basically laughed out the door. And they said, "You were born in sin, and you're trying to teach us." They doubt what is right in front of them. Even you, the blind person, are blind again in a way. You ask, when Jesus says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man, you answer, "Who is he, sir? Tell me so I can believe in him." And even in this, Jesus shows you the light again, the light right in front of you. You've seen him. The one speaking with you is he. And you reply, "Lord, I believe." A story full of blindness. But through it all, Christ shines as a light for the world. I am the light of the world. Christ came into the world to help not only the blind man, but all people, all of us to see, to be a light in the darkness and the blindness of our own lives. The light is here. Even amidst our own blindness of what is around us, there are times we too are blind to what God is at work in our own lives. We may be blind to what's right in front of us. We might be blind to what the gospel's saying. We might be blind to our neighbors, enemies, friends. We may not see what's right in front of us, like the witnesses in today's text, even the blind man. But Jesus is the light of the world, opening our eyes to see the world in a new light, opening our eyes to see our friends, neighbors, enemies, opening our eyes to see where God is and can be at work in the world, opening our eyes to opportunities, opening our eyes to see the world word of the gospel at work in the world around us. Our eyes have been opened by the light. The blind man in today's text does not say anything before Jesus heals him, but he does listen to what it is Jesus is telling him to do. Go, washed in the pool of Siloam. By listening to the word, the man's healed. And we too listen to that word, for we hear the good news that Christ lived, was crucified, died, and was raised again from the dead for us. And like the blind man who is given sight, we too have been given sight and have seen the light through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world, a light amidst our own blindness. Thanks be to God for that light.
And Amen. With the whole church, let us confess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. If you want to follow along in your book, you can find those words on page 104 in the front of your ELW. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Lifting our voices and turning toward God, let us pray for the church, the earth, and all who are in need. You may be seated for the prayers. Each petition this morning will end with, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, open up our eyes and help us to hear your voice. We seek your peace and guidance in our lives, even in the wake of frightening world events, frightening economic crisis, and political strife. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, help us to remember that you are sovereign. We do not know or understand your plans, but we do know that you are in control. We are instructed to pray for our enemies, not just our family and friends. Sometimes we do not want to follow this difficult command. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, give us the desire to follow you, to live by faith, to go down the right road. We yearn to trust you always. We will not fear, for you are ever with us, and you will never leave us to face our perils alone. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we are thankful that you have created each of us. Help us to seek your extraordinary love. Help us intersect our deepest gladness with the deepest needs of society. Help us to be instruments of your peace. Help us to stand up for righteousness and to help the poor, the disadvantaged, and all who are less fortunate than ourselves. Strengthen us to be courageous disciples for you. Lord, in your mercy. And finally, we pray for the personal, physical, and spiritual needs for our visitors and everyone in the congregation. We especially remember saints who have died this year and seek comfort for their families. We seek serenity and healing for each person who is listed in the bulletin as we say aloud each of their first names. Viva, Vatna, Judy, Carmen, Amy, Lynn, Ione, Strauss, Tim, Marge, Brock, missionaries, Colin, Jenny, Josephine, and Amos, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Manianus. Lord, in your mercy, we remember and give thanks for those who have joined you in eternal light. Let their lives of faith shine in our hearts and guide our paths. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, merciful God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your steadfast love through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, we pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
May God, who's called us forth from the dust of the earth and claimed us as children of the light, strengthen you on your journey into life renewed. Lord, bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you with grace and mercy. Lord, look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Marked with the cross of Christ, go forth to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.